Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 17th of December, recording at 9:33 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various different asset classes, but first, a quick review of the week. It's been a quiet one generally, particularly for global stock markets. I'd say we've got drift underway in Asia, although the Indian stock market steadied a bit this week, having been an underperformer in the previous or earlier in the month. And in the European stock markets, again, we've had a very quiet period. I know it's pre-season, but this is exceptionally quiet. And Europe is, again, I would just use the description of drifting here, not going down very much, just ranging a little bit, easing slightly perhaps, including today. Wall Street's been a relative performer throughout the week. And again, it's showing some modest gains today. Again, all light volume here. The South American, Central and South American markets, the small ones such as Chile have been really quite steady within ranges, close to their all-time highs, whereas Brazil has been a little bit weaker, but firmed in here today. Now, a bigger story, much more activity. We saw a bond market rout. That's been an ongoing theme. It started a number of weeks ago, with bond prices falling quite sharply and persistently. Bond yields, of course, obviously rising. I'm talking about long-dated government bond yields, but they exert an influence elsewhere. Now, that move had been looking increasingly overextended in the short term, and in the last couple of days we've seen steadier action in terms of the bond price futures, and we have what appears to be a short covering rally underway. More on that in a moment. In currencies, this is interesting because the US dollar fell quite sharply on Monday, but then didn't see much follow-through on Tuesday, and has spent the rest of the week firming up. Once again, that's mainly against the European currency, sterling, and the euro. But the dollar index overall has repaired some of the technical damage that we saw on Monday. And range-bound, but steady within that range. In terms of commodities, it's been quite interesting. They've been mostly firm. Now, an exception has been the precious metals, which again have been drifting in consolidations for the most part, although they were mostly a little bit steadier in here today. We've got gold at 1375 and a half. That's up just over $5. And elsewhere, some of the coffee has been quite strong, particularly the U.S. coffee contract, surging in here again today. And the agricultural commodities generally have been quite firm. Cotton pressuring its all-time highs. Corn has been about the steadiest among the grain and bean complex, although they are still within ranges above bases. And energy's been quietly steady, I would say. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, it's been a pretty good year, and it looks like it's going to close out that way. Again, as I said in my introduction, I'd be surprised if stock markets were this quiet right through to January, despite the holiday periods that we have, because sometimes you get a bit of Bit of volatility in these thinner market conditions overall. But it's been a good year generally, as I say, and it's not surprising if some people are booking a few profits and just taking a rest here overall. But in terms of the outlook generally, I think it's still moderately favorable. We still have quite accommodative monetary policies, although interest rates are moving upwards. We have seen a shift of some capital away from bonds towards equities, and I think that will be a theme that will persist really for quite some time, more often than not. And representing an additional source of fuel for equities, corporate earnings have been pretty good generally, as they should be in this environment where the global economy has been gradually picking up. Obviously, very much lagging among the OECD countries, but with the emerging, I prefer to say, progressing economies representing an ever increasing portion of global GDP growth and doing quite well, despite some inflationary concerns there, and more on that in a moment. Then, in terms of currencies, we have got some reasonable stability after the dollar fright that we had seen a few months ago when the dollar was really quite weak, and Bernanke seemed to be willing it down and certainly talking it down. Then we've had the euro crisis, which is really more of a crisis of the smaller economy sovereign debt, the southern European countries and Ireland, of course. That's a problem that's unresolved and is a drag on the euro overall. But to the extent that it's a drag on the euro, that helps the competitiveness of Europe's exporters, particularly those that export to Asia. So that's not a bad overall background, I think, as far as equities are concerned, as we end the year and move into what is normally a period of seasonal strength in the first quarter of the new year. Now, of course, seasonal strength can go right out the window if circumstances change and affect sentiment, but I don't see any I don't see any major worries in the immediate future here, but there is a big one that I keep repeating and will go on repeating, which I think we will see take a toll at some stage next year, and that's commodity price inflation. And this really does continue, and we can't blame it on the weak dollar anymore because that has steadied. As of a couple of months ago. And really, this is just down to demand. It's demand coming from users, consumer demand. In other words, I'm talking about corporate consumer demand. It is also coming from a conservative policy on the part of miners, because they, having been burned a bit by the big meltdown that occurred in 2008, they've been cautious about ramping production up too quickly here overall. And then even if the price of your metal is very, very high, it's very expensive, and there are long lead times in terms of developing brownfield sites, let alone greenfield sites. So that's kept the supply generally thin, and that's reflected by the very small contangos that we see, and we actually have some backwardations, notably copper, for instance. And The food price inflation, or I should just say agricultural price inflation, is very real. As I say, just watch what happens with the costs of cotton goods next year, and that will cause a bit of hardship and concern. The food prices have been pushing higher. All of these agricultural commodities have been pushing higher because of the climate change. Now, you know, whatever you attribute that to, there's no doubt that we have had very turbulent weather conditions, and that's played havoc with crop yields. And I don't think that's something that, well, I don't see any evidence yet, I should say, that that's going to change in the short term. Of course, it's winter in the West, but you've got those South American crops and in other regions of the world that are still being affected by these turbulent weather conditions. So I think that the big risk, not just for stock markets, more so for bond markets than for stock markets, is this commodity price inflation. And I think a lot of people are in denial about this still, not least those who are holding portfolios stuffed with bonds of various durations and various government debt or corporate debt. So that that is the biggest concern that I have, but I've also described it as an opportunity. And I wish to be long in this sector until we do see some serious commodity price inflation, and I'll certainly be out by that time, or as that occurs. Now, precious metals, a lot of investors have precious metals. That has been a very rewarding but increasingly crowded patch. I don't think we've seen anything remotely close to the mania that I expect to eventually see in precious metals. But you know, the 200-day moving average has been such a good guide, and not just for precious metals, but when these markets in this bullish phase generally, that I'm referring to the commodity markets and the stock markets, when these markets have rallied up too far relative to their 200-day moving averages, and it's best to look at these relationships on weekly charts, I feel, and in the library you can adjust that weekly chart to be over either 5 years or 10 years, then you see once any of these markets get really overextended relative to the MA, they're prone to mean reversion. Now, palladium and silver got very overextended relative to the MA, so it wouldn't be surprising if they ranged for, I think it would be quite healthy if they range for a few more months here. That may not occur. They may move up more quickly than that. But again, as I say, it's don't be surprised if we do see a longer phase of ranging. And to the extent that it brings these commodities back closer to their rising MAs, that is a positive technical development for the medium to longer term. Now, so that's the environment that we have there. Industrial metals have been picking up recently, led by copper. And I think that the patterns that we see can quite easily support some significant gains in 2011. I'm thinking of metals such as nickel. When you look at that chart, and it's just been, there's a lot of ranging support beneath, I assume it's support, but beneath today's prices. And I have little difficulty imagining that moving significantly higher, if not next year, over the more distant future. And again, demand for all of these commodities is gradually rising. It's remained persistent within the Asian region, and as the West or parts of the West get back onto the growth track, however slowly, that demand is moving up. You take a country like the United States, it needs a major infrastructure overhaul, I should say. And that's going to be metals intensive, I would say. Building of bridges and better railroads and so on. Now, what else to mention here that is important in the commodities? My view is I would play these on the long side only in here. I don't really like commodity ETFs. One can play them through the commodity shares. Those who are already experienced traders may also be interested in the futures, but I never ever encourage anyone to take up trading if they haven't been doing it from a fairly early age in one's adulthood, because it's a very steep learning curve overall, and there's nothing that I think saddens me more in relationships with clients than to see people who are drawn to Fuller Money because they're managing their own funds and interested in learning more, and they're interested in charts. Those are all terribly positive developments. I think people should manage their own money wherever possible. And for those who have the time or can make the time to do that and the inclination, I would encourage people to do that. And I certainly encourage everyone to learn how to use price charts. But some people feel that they've really got to get involved in trading. And again, it's a steep learning curve, and it's not for everybody. So if you're investing in commodities, I would say start with the shares. Mining shares, for instance, I've held for many, many years, and I think the sector is still attractive, albeit a little bit overextended in the short term. Agricultural shares, I've done very little in those, but it's an attractive area here today, not least among some of those fertilizer companies. Now, as far as the ETFs are concerned, I don't like them. I think the gold bullion funds, silver bullion, platinum bullion, those are okay. They're very good, actually, provided they're the funds that are actually holding the metal. And I think that's very important, not least at this stage of the cycle. But I don't like the agricultural commodity ETFs that have been around for a better part of a decade or so now. They've way underperformed. They actually sow the seeds of their own destruction by widening out the contangos, and that is the premium of the more distant contracts over the nearby contracts, and the rollovers that occur usually every 3 months for these commodity contracts to just eat up the performance that might have otherwise occurred. So they just haven't performed, and then you have expenses on top of that. Again, so I would play the commodities largely through shares from an investment perspective. But my point really is that commodities remain an opportunity here in the short term, but they are also the biggest risk to other markets and perhaps to global GDP growth, because if we see what I suspect we will see, and I would happily be wrong on this, commodity prices continue to rise. That causes additional inflation shocks. I mean, we've already had inflation shocks in the developing, progressing economies. So that would it would just intensify those. It would create the inflationary shock in the so-called developed markets, where people have been talking about deflation for at least 2 years, and that would hit bond markets hard. If bond yields go up too much, that would start to weigh. Take for instance, take the U.S. 10-year Treasury yield up over 5.5%. It's a long way away from that now, but looking ahead in these long-term outlooks, that would certainly, I think, create a headwind for equities generally, and I think it would cause central banks to drain some liquidity from the system and to push short-term interest rates up more than would otherwise be the case. So I would see pretty well all of those factors as being negatives, and that I don't want to dwell too much on this, but that is plain and simple the main risk that I see out there. Now, what about these currencies? And I've talked about the yen in here for a number of weeks, and I think the Japanese, as I've said before, are now focused on weakening the yen. They're not publicizing this because they don't want to be singled out for criticism. Understandably, and they may not want to lose face either. But the day-to-day actions, particularly regarding dollar yen, suggest to me that there is some intervention coming from Japan, and I expect that rate to increase. I expect the dollar to increase against the yen, and if the Japanese are really successful, they'll weaken the yen against a number of other currencies. We will see. And let me go back to, no, staying with currencies, again, interest rate differentials, positive interest rate differentials will cause the emerging market currencies to remain generally firm. The absence of any interest rate yield will keep sterling and the euro soft, and I think prevent the dollar from rallying too much in here as well. Certainly, I don't see any big dollar rally on the Asian dollar index or on the Latin or on the Latin American currency index over the next few months. I think we'll probably have a reasonably stable period in currencies actually. And that's good because if currencies are too vile, that if too volatile, that generates additional anxiety. And last but not least, if I go back to commodities for a moment, in terms of the energy sector, this is the big one in terms of commodity price inflation. If crude oil were to stay at its current price, let alone lower, and its current price is $88 on NYMEX. Brent's about a dollar higher, but if it were to stay here, then the risks of commodity price inflation would be considerably reduced. I still think we'll get them in foods, no matter what, for the reasons of the crop damage that I've mentioned previously. But energy is the most important one of all, and when, not, it's not a matter of if, but when we get the next crude oil spike to the upside, that will increase the risk of recession. So those are the things really to worry about over the medium to longer term. Meanwhile, though, I think we'll see more of the same, and that is that stock markets will range sideways in some mean reversion and then higher. I think that long-dated government bond futures will see little more than a temporary short covering rally, and then I think they will weaken over the medium to longer term. And I think commodities will move higher generally until that creates a degree of crisis mentality, leading to some unraveling of those gains. And I think currencies will be mostly reasonably steady in terms of their relationships, just range trading here rather than big moves. And on that note, have a great weekend. All the best.